Dimethyltryptamine is a substance which is found in many plants and animals in nature, including our own bodies. There are two forms of DMT. One I will refer to as NN-DMT. This is the same DMT which is found in ayahuasca. The second is 5-MeO-DMT, which is found in the Sonora desert toad. These two substances are distinct from each other. The latter is much stronger than the former. I'll begin with NN-DMT and talk to you about ayahuasca, and then we'll move on to the toad. NN-DMT, otherwise referred to as the spirit molecule, is often found in a powdered form. It's yellow in color. And when you find this substance, it has been chemically extracted from a number of DMT-containing plants, the most popular of which is called the Mimosa hostilis. This version of the substance is typically ingested through vaporizing, although it is also possible to experience it intramuscularly or intravenously. Later on in this recording, I will talk about the vaporization method. I will not be talking about anything involving needles. I believe by the time I'm reaching the age in which I might be in a retirement home or hospice, there will be high purity manufactured DMT. But as the black market exists today, I would not trust the substances to inject. In fact, smoking them also carries some risk, as you don't know exactly how clean the substance is or its level of purity. That is a concern, and it's worth considering. The other commonly consumed version of NN-DMT comes in the form of ayahuasca, which is consumed in liquid form and is taken in by the stomach rather than the lungs. In order to make this substance, a vine in the Amazon rainforest called ayahuasca, which translates to soul vine or death vine, is boiled down in combination with another plant called chacruna. Together, these two plants enable the NN-DMT to be taken in by the stomach. If you consume ayahuasca cooked by itself, your stomach acid will destroy the DMT. This method of consumption has thousands of years of tribal and indigenous history in South America. Its consumption is pretty well contained to those ceremonial practices. And there's good reason for this. It is a very intense experience, and it requires guidance. I would not recommend anybody trying to purchase the ingredients to make ayahuasca at home. I see it as a necessity in exploring a relationship with ayahuasca to do it through someone who is experienced in that space. As a general rule of thumb, any real shaman or medicine worker will know how to manage the space and to support your body in preparing for ayahuasca, including a specific diet. Ayahuasca experiences have been known to be quite challenging. They often include some aspect of purging, which can take the form of sweating, vomiting, diarrhea, or also through vocal purging, crying, yelling. All of these are potentially part of the ayahuasca experience. And as unpleasant as they may sound, I also believe that all of those experiences can be deeply healing. Of course, that doesn't encompass the full spectrum of experiences. Many of my experiences with it have been blissful and incredibly beautiful, but it's something to be respected and treated very carefully. After participating in ayahuasca ceremonies, I found that the spirit of ayahuasca remains with me and sometimes becomes very apparent during other psychedelic experiences. My experiences with ayahuasca and the traditions around ayahuasca have also shown me that every plant has a spirit. And every plant medicine has its own spirit. Tobacco has a spirit. Chacruna and clavawaska have spirits. This really isn't just a psychedelic experience. It's a religion of the earth. It's much older and much deeper than anything I've ever come across in Western culture. using various songs, rattles, shakers, leaves, the smoke of various plants, and sometimes direct physical touch. These shamans can direct your experience, similar to the way a captain of a ship may steer the boat. At least that's been my experience more than once. Once I also felt that the shaman was like the conductor of an orchestra. But most of the time, you don't notice they're there at all. They know expertly how to hold space for the kind of healing that comes from ayahuasca, to hold space for you to enable your relationship with the plant. When ayahuasca is consumed, the effects of the DMT last for between 3 and 5 hours, similar to that of mushrooms. When DMT is vaporized, the effects only last for 10 to 15 minutes before returning to baseline. Consuming DMT in its crystalline form seems to have more consistent and repeatable effects. The book, The Spirit Molecule by Rick Strassman, outlines the only research that has ever been done on this molecule in a laboratory-like setting. The vaporization of DMT is not only much shorter, but also much more intense. DMT is like passing someone you know in a hallway and having a brief chat, whereas ayahuasca is like sitting down and having dinner with her. The second metaphor fits my experience the best because often when I enter those spaces, I do feel that I'm interacting with a presence directly. I'm having a relationship with nature or with the earth or with God or some entity. And typically that entity to me feels very feminine. That could be because I'm a male and that's the aspect of myself which is not internal to me, but many people do refer to ayahuasca as the grandmother. And I think it's not uncommon for people to refer to it as a very nurturing and feminine essence. I frequently get the impression that ayahuasca and DMT are showing me something. They're teaching me something. I'm downloading information into my body. Some people have reported about feeling as though they were abducted by aliens and interacting with multiple beings. Some people go on dramatic vision quests that tell a story as though they're in a dream. The range of experiences that have occurred during DMT and ayahuasca sessions is really vast and can't be quantified in any simple way. One of the more consistent experiences that occurs on NN-DMT is that of essentially entering a kaleidoscope of color. A vastly intricate Mandelbrot type fractal universe, which unfolds continuously in the most exuberant colors you could ever imagine. The art of Alex Gray is probably the closest representation I've seen of the DMT experience outside of the experience itself, although the faces that he presents are not something that I've experienced personally. Looking closely at certain temple buildings and silk Persian rugs, for example, also seems to represent a very similar theme and pattern to the DMT experience. And for this reason, I believe that those ancient practices which create patterns are spiritual in nature. And now that I'm aware of it, I do see it all around me, including on the paper money of every country. The consumption of ayahuasca is very easy and natural, depending on how you feel about the taste, but it doesn't require any tools or fire. You just drink it like a shot. Smoking DMT, on the other hand, can be a little bit tricky, and I've heard many different methods of doing this. applying direct flame to this substance will destroy it. And so many people will pack a bowl with marijuana, then DMT, and then more marijuana. This is referred to as the sandwich method, and other smokable herbs can be used in replacement of marijuana. However, there are dozens of different types of smoking implements. The one that I have found to be the most effective is called an Eclipse vape. There are two versions of this vape, one which attaches to a water pipe and one which does not. You do not want to inhale DMT vapor through water because you lose a lot of what you're trying to take in. Another quick and easy option is to go find a glass rose or oil burner from a sketchy gas station and use that. There's another method called the vapor genie. Sometimes DMT arrives in the form of a mix of various herbs, and you vaporize these herbs. In my experience, the vapor genie is the best way to do that. You can also use the vapor genie by putting DMT on herbs of your own choosing. However, I don't love the vapor genie because the entire time you're inhaling, you're also taking in the burnt butane from your lighter, whereas with the Eclipse vape, you're not. What I've noticed is that ingesting DMT is a practice. It takes time to learn how to interact with the chemical in terms of how much heat to apply, in terms of how you breathe, and how you take in as much vapor as possible. It takes some trial and error. Ultimately, I think that inhaling anything into your lungs that's not air is harmful, but my experiences with vaporized DMT have been extremely important in my process of healing and integration. I would not have made it to where I am without vaporizing DMT. And I know that not everybody can afford to go to ayahuasca sessions. Just keep in mind, the same as with everything, make sure that you're using these substances to deepen your experience of life rather than to run away from it. I'm genuinely unsure if this is good advice or not, but from my experience, I've learned that controlling the dosage of DMT has not been a big problem because it's mostly about getting as much as you can to reach the blast-off point. I've found that I can put as much as I want in an Eclipse vape jar, and I can still only handle inhaling about the right amount of vapor from that. Just like with every other psychedelic, it's best to start off small to the point where you don't even notice it, and then work your way up so that you see. And you can experiment. You'll want a milligram scale to do this. So here's the smoked / vaporized DMT dosages by a website called realitysandwich.com. Threshold dose is 2 to 5 milligrams. A light dose is 10 to 20 milligrams. Common dose is 20 to 40. And a very strong dose is 40 to 60. Again, that is from a website called realitysandwich.com, so take it or leave it. It's not from Johns Hopkins, but for what it's worth, it does match with my experience. Now is a good time to mention that if you get your hands on something called 5-MeO-DMT, which arrives in two forms that I'm aware of, one is synthetic crystals, which are whitish in color, and the other is in the form of a crystal which is secreted from a toad. And I'll talk about that in a moment, but it looks a little bit tannish in color, and they're kind of sticky crystals. The reason I bring that up so close to dosage is because I want to read off the same information, but for this medicine. The threshold dose is 1 to 2 milligrams. The light dose is 2 to 5 milligrams. The common dose is 5 to 10, and the very strong is 10 to 20. So on the previous, the very strong was 60 milligrams, and on the 5-MeO, it's 20 milligrams. So that's very important to take note of. NN-DMT is a lot less strong than 5-MeO-DMT. And most of the time, if you're talking to somebody, they'll only know there's one type of DMT. So it's important to ask. I've never experienced it, but I've seen vaporizing pens advertised with both NN and 5-MeO-DMT. In fact, I saw a package which was purchased at a store in Canada which had a vaporizing pen of both types, and the background was Rick and Morty. Unbelievable. Personally, I'm not real thrilled about those vaporizing pens because I do not know what substrate they're using, what oil they're using in those vape pens. But it sure seems convenient if you can get a good drag off of it. You might need three or four to fully blast off, but I'd be surprised if I didn't start seeing more and more of those things, given that there's a store openly selling it in Canada. Sometimes it feels like the lid is about to bust right off this thing. And when I say that, what I mean is we're about to break the matrix. Everything is going to get way weirder. Consciousness is going to expand dramatically. And things are going to be really nice. Sometimes I like to hypothesize about how fast it could happen. But I've found that trying to watch the pot boil isn't doing me any good. So I'm just going to stay in the zone. Five-MeO is found naturally in the venom pouches of a specific toad in the desert near Mexico. I would advise you to respect the toad and not to pursue this medicine on your own for two reasons. One, it's extremely powerful and you need to be with an expert the first time you do it, in my opinion. And the second is that these toads should be treated very carefully. We need to make sure that they're safe and that they're not being disrupted too much by humans. There is a synthetic version available. There are some people who say it's exactly like the toad. I have not experienced it. However, the two times that I've experienced this medicine were with an expert who learned the toad. When I smoked the toad, I was everybody. I was everything. I was every atom in the universe. I was every sun, every galaxy. I could feel it happening. It was one light. There is nothing else. Nothing was not included in what I was. I was everything instantaneously. Every moment that's ever happened, past, future, every person I've ever known, every life form in the universe that we haven't even found yet, forever and ever and ever. Out infinitely. And at the same time, I was nothing at all. It was pure bliss, love, nirvana, whatever you want to call it. And to be totally straight up with you, it felt like 100 trillion orgasms at once. I don't know what else to say. My life has not been the same ever since. Everything has changed for me since that happened. I trust myself more and more. I love myself and others more and more. I feel open and I am not worried or feeling doubt. I see the path. It's happening. It is happening right now at this moment. It is happening. All of that being said, this is really not an invitation or a billboard to advertise this experience. I will also say that it was absolutely terrifying, and it's still terrifying to me to think about doing it even after I've done it, because it completely obliterates you. Mind, body, ego, gone. However, I was told that it seemed I had the peak experience of the toad. Not everyone does. If I had to guess, a lot of it comes down to the way you breathe the medicine in, and it's not super easy for everybody. I do know people who did the toad as their very first psychedelic, and honestly, good for them. That must have been unbelievable because I had some frame of reference. I had done DMT numerous times before doing the toad, and I still wasn't ready for it. The only comparison that I could make, honestly, is that if LSD is a bicycle and NDMT is like a motorcycle and the toad is like a fighter jet, it is completely out of this world stronger. And with a smaller dosage, as I mentioned earlier, so it's really incredible. However, the smoking method for both substances is almost the same. Using an Eclipse vape and a milligram scale, put your dosage in the small jar and screw it into the Eclipse vape. Heat the jar slightly with a lighter from a good distance so that it doesn't vaporize yet, but get it prepared. This warms up the jar and the material inside of it. During this time, you'll be focusing deeply on your breath. you want to make sure that as it begins to vaporize, you are about to take an inhale. And when I say inhale, I mean your lungs should be completely empty and you should be ready to take in air for a very long period of time at a consistent rate. This can be practiced by inhaling slowly through a straw. If you're practicing this, try to get it to the point where you can inhale consistently for 15 to 20 seconds straight and then hold at the top. I found that when the medicine kicks in, I have an instinctive understanding that it's time to exhale. That feeling usually comes around 10 to 15 seconds after the hold begins. You don't want to try to hold your breath longer than that. Sometimes when you're taking in the medicine, you're going to want to cough. Don't cough if you can avoid it, because you lose a lot of the vapor that way. When the substance kicks in, just lay back and breathe. Breathe in whatever way feels natural to you. Express yourself vocally, move, do whatever feels right. You will very likely lose all control of motor function when you're in either state, and you probably won't remember the entire experience once you come out of it. The proper setting for a journey like this is somewhere private where you can be as loud as you want and expressive as you want. Personally, I like to play some music. The album Opening to Bliss by Wah is wonderful, and the album Reiki Chants by Jonathan Goldman is also very nice. It's good to be laying down in a position where if you were to flail violently, you wouldn't hit anything. Flailing is more common with 5-MeO than it is with NN, but I have seen people flail under both conditions, and it really is better to have a sitter with you when you try this. They can help you to stay seated so that you don't stand up and hurt yourself, and they can also lend you a bucket if you need to purge. I'm not sure if anyone else has observed this, but the two really intense negative reactions I've seen to NNDMT both came from people who had previously died and came back or had near-death experiences. In both cases, when the DMT kicked in, they immediately went into fight or flight mode and there was a lot of very intense expression happening. I figured I'd put that out there as a possible disclaimer and also maybe to connect those observations with somebody else's. There are two episodes on the toad on the show Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia. One of them includes a video of a person doing the substance and flailing very violently, thrashing around in the rocks in a creek. Personally, I think that was a reckless environment to do that. And second, that person had a very, very adverse reaction. But I would definitely say it's worth watching. Obviously, I have no idea what he experienced, but from the outside, it appeared as though he was resisting the bliss. I'm not sure what would lead someone to do this, but it didn't happen for me, and my experience was beautiful, similar to Hamilton's when he goes on the same episode. But just as it is for other psychedelics, when you enter the DMT realm, whether it be NN or 5-MeO, try not to resist the experience. Try to surrender to it. Trust the medicine, trust the process, know that you're safe, and let it all go. It's important to treat these substances with a lot of respect. They are absolutely mind-blowing. There's no other way to put it. And they can be existentially earth-shattering, as I've seen with a number of people that have had trouble integrating after DMT sessions. This difficulty integrating could be the result of trauma that was unlocked during the DMT session. This could be a result of experiencing ego death, which I mentioned in another episode. Or this could be a result of the unleashing of a mental potential that you were not aware of. Any one of those experiences could be very challenging. If you find yourself struggling to integrate a psychedelic experience, there is a list of resources on the MAPS, Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies website under their Take Action Resources tab. There are numerous hotline numbers and website resources that can help you with your integration. Also under the Take Action tab of their website, they have a link to a list of therapists all over the country who are familiar with psychedelics and can help with integration locally. The main thing I'd like to communicate for anyone who is struggling with integration is that you are not crazy. There's nothing wrong with you. You're simply having a challenging spiritual experience. And there are ways to come back from that. If you're feeling sensitive in that way, it's very important to surround yourself with people who care for you and understand that you're struggling. It's important to validate whatever experience you may have had, however outlandish it may seem, but also know that it's not permanent. As more time passes and as the restrictions on psychedelics are reduced, I do expect to see a greater degree of integration services woven into our mental health structure. We're not there yet, but anything you can do to educate yourself is helpful to others, and the fact that you've taken the time to listen to this today shows that you had the foresight to do some research on psychedelics before using them. And that's helpful to everyone around you, not just yourself. So I'd like to express my gratitude for those who listen to this recording and share it with their friends, because I think that this information is valuable and has the potential to help a lot of people avoid what could be very uncomfortable situations. I also have a feeling now, and throughout my entire time recording this, that this series of recordings might be an important component in the unfolding of consciousness here on planet Earth. And if that is the case, I am humbled and thankful for the opportunity to have served you and myself. And when I say self, I mean capital S, self.